We heard all your complaints. We heard all your cries. When will you guys be back? When are you guys going to drop another episode? So we had to pull it out the closet, give it a little hot, spit on that thing, shine it up, and get you guys back with big banter.
The hand motions that went along with that intro. I wish everyone got to
It's like a,
see that.
is the microphone.
I'm crying.
You have
I
to,
am
you
crying.
use two hands for a microphone?
Sometimes they get big.
Oh, God. Oh, my goodness, everybody. We are very glad to be back. It was a very long hiatus. But listen, we're ready. We're recharged, and we are glad you're listening. And listen, if you love Big Ten football, then you came to the right place. Welcome to Big Banter, everybody. Follow us on the socials at Big Banter Pod on Instagram and X. And Corey, would you like to say something nice to the one person who's probably listening to this because everyone else thought we disappeared off the face of the earth?
Listen, the rumors of our demise were incredibly exaggerated, and the fellas are back. And the fellas are back simply because the fans wanted it. They wanted us back so bad that we just had to come out of retirement. We had to stop making babies. We had to stop with our everyday lives, and we said we need to give the people what they want, and that is Big Ten football banter, which is the name of the show.
Okay, so you guys are basically saying exactly what I said, but I got ridiculed for what I said. We took the microphones out of the closet and we gave them a hawk tour. Spit on
Well,
that thing.
exactly, we weren't exactly ridiculing per se, but you know, just we each of us had to give a little hook to
Shout out to that chick. Shout out to her. I don't know her name. Don't have to.
I hope she's making a bunch of money.
I hope she's listening to the podcast.
That'd be great. That'd be great.
That would be great.
She can put it on her Finsta.
Fellas, we got a lot to talk about. We have one of the biggest events of the summer happening here in about 2.5 weeks. And the EA
White
Sports
boy summer.
White Boy Summer to the max because EA Sports, the college football video game, is back. CFB 25. And as of this last Friday, we're recording on a Sunday. As of this last Friday, your boy has a PS5. It is about to go down.
And if I'm not mistaken, that was mine and Corey's doing, getting you to get the PS5.
We take full ownership of that.
1,000%.
Correct, because I found out that you can't do cross-platform in Dynasty, and I was like, how else am I supposed to metaphorically and physically spank my boys in college football if I don't have a PS5 to play them in Dynasty?
Not
Now,
happening.
maybe 5 years from now, that could be happening, but you guys, oh, I just can't wait. I just can't wait to absolutely eviscerate you both in this game. It's gonna feel great.
What team are we rebuilding? I have picked my team. I will wait to reveal it, but I told both of you. Have you decided what team you're rebuilding first?
Yeah, I think I have. I'm gonna go Hawaii. I saw some Colt Brennan highlights the other day, and I was like, that was a wild time when Hawaii was like a top 15 team, and everybody was just like, oh shoot, like they're good at football. I watched so many highlights that I almost bought a Georgia Hawaii Sugar Bowl t-shirt because I was like, that's so dope. I might still do it, especially if I'm doing the dynasty, but that's how close I was.
How did you come
So,
across Colt Brennan Hawaii highlights?
the TikTok, you just get bombarded with random highlight reels of players who were like kind of good, and then it just happens.
So I'm a little bit up in the air right now.
Walk us through it. Walk us through your thought process here.
Okay, so you want, I like for me, I kind of want to take a team who has had former glory in the past, but has fallen on woefully hard times. So I have looked at many different teams, and this might be a little bit outside the box. There's two teams that I am currently debating between still, so I have not picked. But they are you ready for this? They are Nebraska and SMU. Or no, sorry, I scratched SMU and went with Tennessee. Nebraska or Tennessee? Tennessee, I feel like, was just like very good, but it was more of like a flash in the pan type year with Hendon Hooker.
Those are both interesting because they literally were both good. At least the last time they were both elite, it was the same time. Like Nebraska won the shared natty in 97, and didn't Tennessee win one in 90, was it 98?
The next season, it might have been. It might have been. But I'm leaning hard towards Nebraska. You know what? I'll announce it right here on the show. It's Nebraska. It's Nebraska.
You know, it's admirable, but a Power Five conference team,
That is
or Power Four, I guess, at this point.
I want to take a team with former glory who, oh, okay, Nebraska sucks right now. Can we all agree on that? Like, I'm not taking over a good team.
That is true, but I think for Corey and I, because of the teams that we picked, you're going to have to spot us a few years.
Okay, that is totally fair. I also could go like off the beaten path and grab like Appalachian State.
Now we're talking. Now
That's
we're talking.
and
Because,
that's going to hurt every time that you fire it up too, because of past
past
things.
trauma. But you know what? A Michigan natty erased all pain.
They did win the national championship, didn't they?
They did.
I almost forgot.
So if we're all trying to go that direction, I can go App State, because ever since they came into D1, they've not been good. They were a powerhouse D2 team, but
So I'm gonna need a ruling then on the team that I chose, because I texted you guys that I want SMU. Ethan teased my pick a little bit. I want Pony Express, but they are now in the ACC because of conference realignment. So I need a ruling. Is SMU acceptable? I also is College Football 25, is it gonna have like this year's conference alignment, I'm assuming?
It will be up to date conference alignment.
So I need a ruling on SMU because technically they're Power Four now.
Oregon in the what's it called in the trailer has a Big Ten patch, and apparently they got in a little bit of trouble for that because they're not technically in the Big Ten yet.
I say it's almost as comparable and not the same amount of success, but it's like if you picked Vanderbilt and tried to like do like a dynasty with them, because Vanderbilt's Vanderbilt, right?
I think it might even be harder. Hear me out, because you're moving into a Power Five, Power Four. I'm gonna have to get used to saying that. That's gonna be weird. You're moving into a Power Four conference with like some really upper echelon teams. Me playing as Appalachian State and Corey with Hawaii, I mean, like you can very quickly have really good records with those teams. You are going to be playing Clemson and Florida State.
That's a
So
good point. That's a good point. What I am excited
you're
about, I am. What I am excited about with SMU is the recruiting territory. SMU's got a great location they're in Texas. So that's a big plus for the ponies. Also, their uniforms are crispy, bro. They look so freaking good.
I'm not going to lie. That's part of the reason why I was considering SMU. I did forget that you had said that that's what you were leaning towards. But SMU's jerseys are fire.
So in Dynasty, there's the whole NIL deal, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like I have a very compelling package because I could just offer any five-star recruit an entire island. Be like, yep, you can have Kawhi if you come here. You want to be the five-star quarterback
I'm
here
guessing,
in Hawaii? You can have Kawhi.
I'm guessing with you picking Hawaii, your NIL funds are going to be extremely limited, as will mine at App State. SMU is actually going to have some pretty legit cash moolah to throw
around.
This
is why we offer land. Land in paradise.
You know what?
Coconuts. Unlimited coconuts.
I'm starting to think more and more that Alex's pick is kind of cheap.
Yeah.
It's cheap.
Just because it's...
He's finding loopholes.
Just because it's well thought out doesn't mean it's cheap.
Mm. My goal is to get Hawaii into the Big Ten in like 2 years.
Can you do that?
Probably.
Yeah, you can conference realign. I'm pretty sure.
That would
you know
be
what? That
cool.
might have only been a revamped thing.
Hawaii would immediately set the record for most mileage traveled in a season.
It would be so funny. And then the Big Ten commercial would positively never be the same. It would be like an hour and a half to get to like the mainland.
I need Hawaii at Rutgers in early November.
Oh, don't get me started, Mike. The episode is over. I got to start planning my schedules here.
All right, listen. Ladies and gents, we did not want to derail the show quite this spectacularly.
But we will update you on our dynasty battles. Absolutely.
I was just about to say, but you will be hearing us talk about our college football 25 teams for the rest of this season. This season of episodes, we will be talking about it. Just understand that. Just know it's the only game any of us will be playing.
Last question. This is a serious question. I truly mean that. Can we line up our dynasties and like have each other on the schedule? Is that a thing?
Why not? Yeah. Out of conference games?
I don't know the answer to that question. But he's saying, like, can we play actual player versus player against each other that counts towards our season?
Oh, good question.
Well, I'm guessing no.
Let's get some EA developers on the
podcast. Here's what we could do. We could set it up to where the only problem is that we're going to have to play each game twice because you just do two users on that game. And then you play as your team and I play as my team. But then we have to do it for your dynasty as well. I think, I don't know. We'll look into it. We'll figure that out. All right. Fellas, we've got some serious Big Ten to talk about because the over-unders are out for the season. And if we have a startup episode for a season, you know we're looking at Vegas and you know we're trying to see how many games these teams in the Big Ten are going to win. And we've got some newcomers. We talked a lot about this last year. Welcome, UCLA. Lowest expected win total, I will say, for all of the newcomers is UCLA. We'll get to that in a bit. Washington, welcome.
Welcome in. Huskies. Oh!
USC. Yep, USC.
No.
Where's the defense? Where's the D? They got no D.
And
they
Oregon.
They got nothing to hawk to on.
It's kind of crazy to think that the value a program brings to your conference, it's hard to find a school that would be more valuable than USC. Like, that's crazy, right? USC is like huge. Oregon financially is worth more than what USC is worth.
They
Like
got that Phil
more
Knight money.
viewership. Yeah. Phil Knight money, baby. We got Nike under, like, just, oh, I just want to eat it.
Fellas, did we see the Oregon blackout jerseys though?
Nasty.
So gross.
Oh my Lord.
Right. So we've got your over-unders. I'm gonna spit them out to you guys. We have, remember, we have four extra teams now. So let's try and move at a decent clip. So what I'm going to do, each one of us is going to get to elaborate per team. One person will get to elaborate per team. Okay?
Are we
Sound
giving
fair?
gut reactions?
Gut reactions. Yes. Gut reactions. I am not going to tell you what the odds on the over under are because they are always skewed. It's not like -110, -110. They're always skewed a little bit. I will not give you that. So you guys will have to decide on your own over under. It's just gut reaction. It's based off the team and how you feel about them. Okay? So but I will get your predictions from both of you on every single one. So
Understood.
the lowest expected win total in the Big Ten Conference for the 2024-2025 season is, Corey, I'm gonna have you guess.
IU.
Alex.
Purdue.
Both of you are incorrect, unfortunately. The answer I was looking for is the Michigan State Spartans.
No freaking way. You're lying.
Oh, this is the best day ever.
With an over under of 4.5.
Bro, Vegas doesn't even know if they're making a bowl game.
There's multiple teams at 4.5, but over
Oh,
under.
who were the teams we named? Some of those teams?
No. Over under 4.5.
Over. They got the chip on their shoulder. They got us right where they want us.
Alex,
Over.
over under 4.5.
This is not D'Antonio's Michigan State team. I don't know that I buy the chip on the shoulder argument here. Man, if I had to put money on this, I would say under. I know they're excited about Chiles at quarterback, but they need other people on the team besides Aiden. And I don't think they have a lot of those guys right now.
Yeah,
And
but I think it's the whole culture with Tucker was so bad. Just getting somebody to like right the ship, I think it's going to be tremendous for the team. It's going to galvanize them a little bit. While how much that galvanizes the team is something else, but I'm going to say over.
I am very
I'm saying under. I'm saying
okay,
under.
under. I dropped out there for a second. My connection went kaput. Okay, under 4.5. Wow.
I mean, I think they're going to be right at four. Like, are we allowed to peruse schedules very briefly? Because I just did that,
Yeah,
so.
that's fine. You can have those up if you'd like to look at them. I'm gonna take the over on 4.5 for Michigan State. I can't think that that's a possibility that they go under that. I do have to correct myself. They're not technically the worst odds because over is -160 for them. The under is +125. The under for this next team, also at 4.5, is slightly better. So they are technically favored to win the least amount of games. Northwestern over under 4.5. Alex, what say you?
Yeah, that sucks. That really hurts 'cause they had such a like underdog story season last year, but you can't rely on that kind of magic for the long haul. They have Ohio State and Michigan and they go on the road to Iowa this year. 4.5. I think Duke will still be decent. I think under. I think Northwestern probably comes back down to earth, unfortunately, as they break ground on their new stadium. But yeah, I have to go the under here.
Corey, give me a quick one.
I'm looking at their Big Ten schedule right now. I'm gonna go over.
This one's really tough for me because I want so badly to join Corey and take the over because I just feel like this is a team that got so galvanized last year and like I want to believe that they can take it and continue to run with that. But I got to keep a level head about me and I got to go with Alex on this one. I think the under at plus 110 is the bet that I would take. It just feels like 4 wins for them this season kind of makes sense. I hope they surprise us. I hope they go out there. I hope they win 6 games. I really do. But it just with the way their schedule lines up, and like you said, they've got Duke in the non-conference. It's just going to be very, very tough. So I will take the under there. All right, next up we have the Purdue Boilermakers. Also sitting at over under 4.5. They are currently making a transition towards more of a defensive-minded team. We saw that last year. They played up against a few really good opponents, including Michigan, where they held their own defensively in that game for quite a good chunk of time. Corey, we'll start with you on the Boilermakers, and I want you to give us your deep dive on this one.
I mean, you already know. I can't go against them. If there is any team that I know in the Big Ten outside of the Michigan Wolverines, it is the Boilermakers. Listen, I think we were all pretty impressed with how they played down the stretch. Ethan, you hit the nail right on the head. They're shifting to a defensive-minded team, and I'm still kind of waiting on Hudson Carr to be serviceable. And at this point, with a year under his belt, he got used to the Big Ten style of play. He was given the reins to the offense. And I will be the first to say he was bad. He turned the ball over far more than he scored touchdowns, both in the air and on the ground. But I do think there is some value of having an experienced quarterback, and especially in a conference that has had. I don't want to say a lot of quarterback turnover, but there's going to be a lot of new names starting for different teams. And hey, I think we like Walters too. So I'm going to go over. Their non-con is where they're going to have to get the majority of their wins, which I think they can do because I think their home schedule is pretty tough and they play a lot of Big Ten games on the road. So, but I'm confident that they'll hit the number and go over.
I hate to be Mr. Negative here. I'm going under again. A lot of their winnable games, like if they're, what are they? 4.5, right? Like if you look at their 5 winnable games, most of them are on the road. And that makes me feel icky. And one of their games in the non-conference is Notre Dame. They're not winning against Notre Dame. So I feel good about Purdue. Like I think Walters is doing a decent job, but way too many road games for me to feel good about an over here.
For me, this is a team, and let me know if you guys agree with this. This is a team that can take a step forward from even where they were last year, but their record can look worse.
Absolutely, on the money.
They have a very tough schedule, especially you guys said it. The home schedule is super brutal, and that's where you're going to need to win these games. I honestly think there's a good chance they only win 3. So give me the under with Purdue at 4.5, but I don't think that has to mean that they're not making progress as a program. So I'll take the under 4.5. I'll ride with Alex on this one. We move right over to the Fighting Illini. Over under sitting at 5.5. I'm going to take this one first. I've been passing it to you guys. I'm going straight under on this one, 5.5. We had the conversation about it last year, and I was wrong, and you guys were right. You guys both were like, no, this team is going to crash and burn. I was thinking that they could hold on to some of that defensive prowess and still be a good team. I just don't see it. I'm 5.5. I think they should also be at 4.5, and they're not. I definitely am going to take the under on this one. And for me, it's the easiest decision I've made thus far, even though I feel pretty confident about Purdue. But that extra game for Illinois, they feel like they should be one of those teams in that 5.5 range as well. Easy under for me.
I'm gonna go over here. I feel like it's the opposite as Purdue, where a lot of their winnable games are at home. They've got Eastern Illinois at home, Central Michigan at home, Purdue at home, Minnesota at home, Michigan State at home, and then they end with at Rutgers and at Northwestern. So I don't love Illinois. Like, this is not me loving on Illinois in the slightest, but I think they've got enough winnable games on there for me to feel way more comfortable about the over than I do the under. I think, like you said, looking at that number is like, wait, why are they also not at 4.5? And I think Vegas is trying to tell you something about their schedule.
Listen, I this is the year where the Brett Bielema experience or the experiment is over. I will be the first to say at the beginning of the year or at the beginning of this podcast, I was like, yeah, Illinois could be something with Brett Bielema, that he's an experienced Big Ten coach. I was dead wrong, and I will eat my words there. I'm looking at their schedule. Nebraska on the road, Penn State on the road, Oregon on the road, Rutgers and Northwestern on the road, and then you get Michigan State, Minnesota, Michigan, and Purdue at home. This is easy for me. Bielema gets fired at the end of the year. That's my hot take.
They've got six winnable games, though, when you look at this. Northwestern, Rutgers, Michigan State, Minnesota, Purdue, Central, and Eastern Illinois. I lied. Seven. Seven winnable games here for Illinois. This might be a lock that I
You're
put money
right.
down on.
You're right. There's seven winnable games, and they're not going to win them. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't think they're seven winnable games does not mean seven wins, especially for a bad team. And I think that Illinois is a bad team. So they will find a way to lose at least two of those games, in my opinion.
But that would still get them the over.
No, that would be five. If they have seven winnable games and they
Oh,
lose
you're right. You're
two,
right. Yeah.
that would
You're right.
be they're at five. And I think they'll lose more than that.
Breaking news. Alex can't math. You heard it first on Big Banter.
All right. Enough ragging on Alex's math skills.
I misremembered. I just misremembered.
Guys, I don't know if I should even talk about this one because I just looked at it and my heart started racing because we all know if you're a frequent listener of the show, my relationship with this team, not great. Okay. Not
Row the
good.
boat.
The Minnesota Golden Gophers over under sits at 5.5. Let's turn it over to our good pal, Corey.
Listen, the expectation has been set for the Minnesota Golden Gophers, and it is bowl game or nothing. And they only won five games last year, and they still made it. Looking at their schedule, oh gosh. Oh, that's so brutal. I think they do it. It's a PJ Fleck year where he has to live up to their very low expectations. So I'm gonna say he hits the number.
Oh, I do not think that is the case. I think the boat fully submerges. I just watched the Titanic yesterday and I thought, yeah, Minnesota, PJ Fleck is on that boat and he's freezing his hiney off in that water. I do not like that number here. I'm looking at their schedule. They have a stretch in the middle here of Iowa, Michigan, USC, then UCLA, which will be should be a softer matchup, but that one's on the road. And they've got Illinois on the road, Rutgers on the road, Wisconsin on the road. I don't trust this team as far as I can throw them, and I can't throw them very far. I'm going the under.
Oh, I'm glad you guys did the elaborating. I'm just gonna take the under, and we're just gonna move on. We're just gonna move on. because
Just close your eyes and take the under.
No, no, no. I want to hear the elaboration just a little. Just a little as a
I've
treat.
Blown up on PJ Fleck and Minnesota far too many times. I will say this. I have never heard somebody praise a team so much the way that PJ Fleck did after the Michigan-Minnesota game when Michigan absolutely trounced them last season. But they're just, to me, the luster has worn off of PJ Fleck so much that I am beginning to be convinced that what he did at Western Michigan was just a fluke, and I feel like it's all but confirmed now. Under, and he gets fired. Like, that is bad.
But they do have new jerseys. They do have new jerseys this year. Might give them a little extra juice.
It won't. Okay, next we have... Next up is Rutgers, also sitting at 5.5. I'll take this one first. I personally think Rutgers
football.
I was waiting for that. That's why I said I'll take it first, because I knew Corey would do that. I'm gonna go. Corey, you're gonna be happy. I'm going over. I'm going over 5.5 at this game. I think this team gets to 7 wins this year.
You're darn right.
I think Rutgers is going to be... I'll say it. I think Rutgers is going to be a top 6 team in the Big Ten.
Heck yes. Heck yes. Sing us a song. You're the Shiano man. Okay, they're hitting this number. It's an over. For two reasons. One, Kyle Manungai. And two, they have a quarterback now that knows how to make a forward pass. That's it. That's all they needed last year. They're going to be a competitive Big Ten football team.
What's this number? Oh, 5.5. Oh, gosh. I thought you were going to say 6.5. I am also taking the over. 3 of their first 4 games are at home against Howard, Akron, and Washington. They have another home game versus UCLA, another home game versus Minnesota, another home game versus Illinois, Michigan State on the road, which should be an easy matchup. Rutgers to the moon, baby!
Rutgers to the moon, the first big banter super
big
lock.
Big banter super lock is Rutgers football.
Rutgers football.
Cha-ching, cha-ching.
Get you a spicy meatball,
you know,
marinara
what?
Sub.
Boys, I think we're going to go back-to-back here. Are you guys ready? I think we're going back-to-back. And you know what?
I'm so ready.
It is our first new member of the Big Ten. Welcome, UCLA. Your over-under is 5.5. Alex?
Under. They don't even have a man. Their head coach has never even been a coordinator before. That's, and this is his first gig, first head coaching gig, and you're entering the conference with the reigning national champs, with two teams that are absolutely loaded from the transfer portal. They have this going for them. They play Oregon, they play Penn State, they avoid Michigan, they avoid Ohio State, but I think that's just going to make their record look that much worse. So give me the under for UCLA.
I'm looking at just their Big Ten schedule alone. Outside of the Indiana game, I could see them having one Big Ten win, and I don't think that's an exaggeration. I don't think that they will adapt as well to the style of play as the other newcomers. And their coach is a high school football running backs coach, so, you know, that's not good at all. Under, please.
I told you guys. I told you. I said we're going back to back here. This is an easy under for me. I oh man. As much as the Minnesota is like a lockopotamus for me on the under, this is truly like, I just do not see a scenario. Corey, I completely agree with you. I think there is a real scenario where they only win one Big Ten game. The only thing being, Big Ten teams having to get used to traveling out west to go and play these teams on the road. But there's no crowd at the Rose Bowl for them. There's zero people there. The only time there's anyone in that stadium is for the actual Rose Bowl at the end of the year. So on New Year's Day, excuse me. It's an easy under for me. So back-to-back super locks, back-to-back big banter super locks. I absolutely love it. Now we move into the teams that are expected to make a bowl game. So the rest of the teams in the Big Ten are expected to win a bowl game. First one up on the list is the Maryland Terrapins, over under 6.5. Corey, you look flabbergasted, so we'll start with you.
Why do we talk about this team every? They do this every year. It's the same story over and over and over again. Now they got that redhead kid who's kind of nice with it at quarterback. I'd like to see what he does, but this is what's gonna happen. They're gonna start out like 4-1, 5-1, and then they're gonna be in danger of not being bowl eligible. It's just gonna look at their last four games: Oregon on the road, Rutgers and Iowa at home, and then they go to Penn State. I mean, if they're not bowl eligible by those last four games, it's the same story. So what's the number? I'm
Six and a
sorry.
half.
Under. I just under.
I completely agree with you. I think this is one of those situations where they're going to have their six wins, and then they're just going to be staring down the barrel at the end of the year. And what does Maryland do when that's the situation? They fold. They lose, they lose, they lose, they lose. I do think they get to six wins. I think they do make a bowl game, which matters zero nowadays in college football. But that's the ceiling of it. I don't think they go any higher. I'm taking the under on Maryland, 6.5. Give me the under.
Fellas, we have ourselves. I'm taking Maryland over. They are going to hit seven wins because people are going to look at this number and they're going to look at this team and they're going to say, but Talia's gone and he was a great quarterback and Vegas is expecting them to make a bowl game? Not a chance. Give me an easy under. Do not overestimate the ghost of Talia Tagovailoa. He was not him, and he was not close to him. The play at quarterback is going to be very similar to what they had already. And like you said, the beginning of their schedule, super easy. I could literally see this team going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I could see them starting 8-0. Genuinely. Genuinely. I could see them starting 8-0. Their toughest game, first eight games of the season, their toughest game, USC at home. I'm taking the over easy on Maryland.
Well, we both got very excited because he was leading us on like he was going to say under for a back-to-back-to-back super locks, and he did not. So Alex will not be joining us for the rest of the show. All right, moving on.
What a tease. What a tease.
All right,
Yeah, go
we've got our
away.
second newcomer to the Big Ten ranks. We've got the Washington Huskies. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. The national championship runner-up Washington Huskies over under 6.5 wins. Yikes. Alex, we start with you.
I'm gonna take the under here, and I think it's pretty simple. They lost a bunch of talent to the portal and to the draft, and it's a new coaching staff, and it's a new conference. Like, way too many variables for me to trust them to get very far over that. They don't have the, oh, I was about to say they don't have the toughest schedule in the world. I guess they don't have the toughest, but they play Michigan. They play an Iowa team that's still gonna be really freaking good. They go on the road to Penn State, on the road to Oregon. Don't feel great about that. Give me under 6.5 wins.
You know, this is really tough. I don't want to overthink it because this entire time I was like, Oregon, excuse me, Washington lost so much and the stars aligned for them and they couldn't do it. New quarterback, essentially new offense and defense. It just seems like a really easy under. So I don't want to overthink it. I'm just gonna say under.
You almost got there, Corey. Your little spidey senses were tingling to tell you like this is wrong, and you almost got there. This is an over for me. I'm taking the over 6.5 for Washington. Everybody and their mother is going to be on the under for that team. They lost their whole roster. They lost their whole coaching staff. There's no way this team can win 7 games, but they will. They will come out and they will win 7 games. They're going to have a big upset in there. They're going to beat a team that they have no business beating. The same thing applies what I said about UCLA. These Big Ten teams that have to travel all the way out to Washington during the heart of the Big Ten schedule, it's a bigger deal than what we think. And it is going to throw a team off. Somebody's going to go in there that should not lose and lose. That is going to happen. So I am going to take Washington over 6.5. All right. Next team up, Wisconsin. They are still sitting at 6.5. I'll take this one first. I like the over. I think this is a year that last year was, we all thought, oh, Wisconsin, it's their, the Big Ten West is their division to lose. Jokes.com. They just did not show up last year. And there was so many changes going on that I think this year is just going to be a little bit more understanding what their system is. I mean, the way that they, you have one of the best running backs in the country and you just don't use him. It was really strange last year. It was very, very weird. I just have to trust that they get themselves together and get over 6.5 wins. Alex?
I do not trust this team yet. I thought they were going to hit this number last year, and they didn't really come close. I think the biggest reason for me is I don't think they have the quarterback position right still. They are moving on from Tanner Mordecai, and they're replacing him with Tyler Van Dyke from Miami, which if you remember last year, he was a turnover monster. And for a team that wants to do this dairy raid, throw it all over the place offense, I don't think a guy who has turnover problems is the one to give the keys over to. So I'm taking the under.
This is one I'm strictly going off of vibes because it can't be worse than last year. And I'm going to eat my words maybe, but it can't be worse. Wisconsin will not accept that as just a school, a proud school of Midwestern values. No, I just, yeah, I think they'll go into USC. That's their first Big Ten game. And I think they'll just suffocate them with defense, kind of like a welcome to the Big Ten sort of a thing. But, yeah, I'm simply picking the over because it can't be worse than last year. Just can't be.
Okay. Iowa also sitting at 7.5. They are next up on the docket. Corey, I want to get your take first on this one. By the way, over 6.5 for Wisconsin, just real quick to close that out, is -140. So you can get +110 on the under for Wisconsin, 6.5. That number, it just kind of jumped off the page to me here. So I just wanted to let you guys know that. But Iowa, we have now moved to 7.5. Iowa over under 7.5.
Do I do the same thing? The offense can't possibly be worse or as bad, but we've said this would be the third year in a row. It's like, we can't possibly be this bad. I think I think Iowa has proven that they can just retool on the defensive side of the ball.
Is Cade
And
McNamara
they just.
gone?
No, he's still
Okay.
there. He's still there, which I think he's even as a non-healthy Cade McNamara, he has to be better than what's his face.
As of 7 days ago, Hawk Central reports that Iowa's starting quarterback is healthy and fully cleared for all football activities.
So there we go. So he can't be worse than, I can't even remember his name, but that guy was playing quarterback in the 1950s in 2023. So,
That man looked like Big Ben the game before he retired.
yeah, it's not good, but yeah, I think they hit the number. I think over the past like 5 years been one of the most consistent Big Ten teams in the conference. And I think they do it again. Give me the over.
Yep, they are going to do this. Just the fact that they have a human being at quarterback in Cade McNamara is going to make all the difference in the world. Their defense is still going to be elite, along with their secondary, despite what they lost. Easy over for me here.
Yeah, I'm not going to go too deep into it. You guys already explained all that needed to be explained. I'm taking the over. Defense wins you a lot of games in college football. So I will take the over. It is minus 135. Yeah, 7.5, correct. Over 7.5 for Iowa, minus 135, but I'm willing to pay the juice. Give me the over. I think they get to 8. I think 8 is probably where they will end up, but I could see them getting to 9 or 10 as well. Just looking through their schedule. So definitely doable. All right. This one is not as easy as Iowa. Nebraska over under 7.5. Let's try and keep this as brief as possible. Alex, I go to you first. Nebraska 7.5. Have at it.
7.5 is such a high number. Oh my gosh, why is it that high? Is Vegas telling us something? Oh my gosh, Nebraska's gonna have a nasty defense. They are going to have a nasty defense. And guys, I'm looking at this schedule. They dodge Oregon, they dodge Michigan, and they dodge Penn State. Oh my gosh. Is Nebraska gonna win 8 football games? Over. I said it. I said it.
I don't want to do this. I don't want to pick it. It just seems gross. I think the number is 7. That's their number. So under.
It's the Matt Rule effect. I can't fall off it now. It's him in his second year, places that he goes. They take off. They skyrocket. And you fade three of the top four teams in the conference? It's an over. It's an over. Nebraska's going to win 8 football games, and we're all going to sit here and be like, but they're not that good. And you know what? Maybe they actually will be. I'm going with Alex. I'm going over. I'm going over. I'm going to throw up, but I'm going over. The next one. All right. We're going to make this one very quick, okay? Because I think we're going to be in lockstep on this one. We're going to go quick. If somebody is on the other side of it, then maybe we can discuss. But real quick, knee-jerk reaction, USC. Over under 7.5. Corey, quick.
Under, they're trash.
Corey or Alex.
Under, they don't stop anybody.
Under. They don't play defense. You don't play defense in the Big Ten, you lose games. Sorry. USC, welcome to the Big Ten. You're only going to win 6 football games. Congrats. All right.
Super lock.
Yeah. Easy super lock there. All right. Now we move into the big boys. So these next two teams are both at 9.5. However, Michigan has the worst odds to go over 9.5. So we start with Michigan over under 9.5 wins. Alex, we'll start with you.
This is tricky. This is definitely tricky, but they dodge Penn State, but they kind of replace Penn State with Texas in the non-conference. That's a really freaking good line. In order for them to hit the over, they're going to have to upset one of Texas, Oregon, or Ohio State. They get two of the three at home. Sprinkle a little homerism in there, along with two of those three being at home. And I'm going to take, never mind. Safe money is on the under for me. Way too many unknowns on the offense for me to be able to feel comfortable putting money on the over. They're replacing all of their top six offensive linemen. Could they hit the over? Yes, but I think smart money would say under right now.
Just to clarify, this is for regular season, not postseason play, correct? Okay. Ethan, you had your microphone unmuted, so I'll let you go.
I just said this about Iowa, and I'm not going to overthink it for my own team coming off a national championship with a ton of experience and a ton of guys on defense that returned. Defense is going to win you a lot of games in college football. And I truly believe this. There's stuff where you feel like you're being a homer about stuff. And you just don't want it to, you don't want to admit it to yourself. I think Michigan has one of the two best defenses in college football. I truly do believe that. I really truly do. And that's going to win them 10 football games. So I will take the over here. I think exactly what Alex, you were on the right track. Having two of those three hardest games at home, that is a huge, huge deal in this situation. They will get one of those games. Guys, something about we're gonna get to them, so I don't wanna spoil it, but I'm going to because it kind of furthers my point for Michigan going over. Something about Oregon just it isn't quite sitting with me. I don't know. I don't know. They might have a little bit of a welcome to the Big Ten type of season.
This is weird because now I'm positive about Michigan because they won a national championship. That defense is going to be so good. Like, people don't realize how good that defense is going to. They have the best cornerback in the country, and it's not close. They have the best interior lineman in the country. You could make an argument, maybe, but I don't think it's that close either. They're only going to get better, in my opinion. And just looking at those three games, because that's been the focal point of what we've been talking about, I think it's more likely that looking at it now that Michigan beats Oregon as opposed to Texas, because Texas last year proved to you that they can win a really tough game on the road in Alabama, Tuscaloosa, which probably, if we're being completely honest, all homerism aside, like Tuscaloosa is probably a harder place to play in than Ann Arbor. I don't think that's I don't think that that's much of a conversation. So to get the narrative of you might squeak an early win out of them, I don't know. With Texas having national title aspirations, I think they get one of those wins, and then Ohio State has all the pressure on the in the world on their shoulders to beat Michigan at home, and you might get a slip up there. So I'm gonna say over, but it's gonna be very close to that number.
All right. I know we have Penn State listeners. So you guys have been on here. You've been patient. You've been waiting. You know who you are. We got Penn State over under 9.5. Now, mind you, Michigan is plus 170 at 9.5 for the over. Penn State is minus 170. Penn State's schedule is it is the inverse of Michigan's. Michigan's schedule is ridiculously hard. Penn State doesn't play a soul. So Penn State's number sitting at 9.5. I'll go first on this one. It's a pretty easy over for me. I think they are a lock to win 10 games. You pull up their schedule, you look at their schedule, you find me three regular season losses on there, and I'm going to show you a big fat boot kicking James Franklin out of his office as the head coach. If this team loses, if this under hits for 9.5, if they only win 9 football games, James Franklin is gone. Can I make that prediction right now? Can I lock that in? If they go under this
Yes.
number, he loses his job. There is no, aside from a litany of injuries, which like nobody can predict that, right? Aside from that, this team not winning 10 football games with what their schedule is, that cannot happen. So I'm easily taking the over here.
I'm having a hard time finding a second loss, if I'm being honest. Like, I'm looking at the schedule and it's like, okay, Ohio State L. And then I'm looking at the rest of it. I'm like, where did Vegas get this line at? Like, it feels very
No, no,
strange.
no. It's
Like, their second.
-170 for the over. You get it.
Okay, so
You
that makes sense. But
get
still,
an injured
doesn't it feel like
Drew
the line
Aller.
should be 10 and a half?
No, you get an injured Drew Aller or something like that. This is Vegas telling you they just don't trust James Franklin.
Yeah, right. No, you're exactly right. Because their second toughest game is at USC, who is completely retooling the defensive side of the
They're
football.
bad.
So
USC is bad. They play
USC is
11
bad.
easy games.
Yeah, so I'm also taking the over here.
Fellas, this is the easiest schedule, Big Ten schedule
Bar none.
in the
Bar
country.
none.
Bar none. Ohio State is the most difficult game. And honestly, the James Franklin equation will always get you there. There is a very real possibility we could be talking about a Penn State that sweeps the table. I think
Do they play Ohio State at home?
they play Ohio State at home. If they can just get something to go
They
their
got
way.
to they, the last time they won, you know what? The last time they won a big home game, and I mean a huge home game, was at home, white out at night against Ohio State with the blocked field goal that they ran back for a touchdown.
And that has to be their whiteout game, right? Or were we too far
I don't
back for
know.
that? I
I don't know.
think
All
we're
right.
too, but over, and then Penn State will be the first team to lose a home playoff game.
If they go undefeated, they won't have to.
Yeah, they won't.
They'll be in the top four. All right. Next up is Oregon, sitting over under 10.5. So the number has now jumped up for these last two teams. Oregon over under 10.5. I just kind of gave it away when I was talking about Michigan. Something just doesn't sit quite right with me with Oregon. It's not like they lost nothing after last season. And last season they had their woes, they had their issues. This just doesn't feel like a team that is, oh, I'm just going to come into a brand new conference where the style of play is completely different and travel 100,000 miles and win 11 games. That just is something about that. Forgive me if I'm crazy. Something about that just doesn't quite sit with me. I'm taking the under, and I think that there is a legitimate chance that Oregon ends up only winning 9 football games. Call me crazy. I've looked at the schedule. Do I think they'll win 10? Yes, I do. But I think it is, I think the number is 10, and I'm going to take the under.
I wouldn't touch this line with a 10-foot pole. So don't take anything that I say with any kind of seriousness whatsoever. This is tough, but I do think I'm going to take the over here because they get the Ohio State game at home, and like I said, their second toughest game is at Michigan, and we don't know a lot about Michigan on the offensive side of the ball. Like, now their defense is going to be elite, absolutely, but so many unknowns with Michigan that if I had to put money with Oregon, I would put it on the over. But But you're not wrong, Ethan, about traveling and a new conference, new style of play with all these teams. You're not wrong about any of that. So I'm going to say over, but I'm not going to feel great about it.
Ethan, I think you've convinced me, because I'm looking at their full schedule right now. And because of the conference realignment, we're getting a bunch of weird stuff going on. They play Oregon State in September, which is nuts. You were going to tell me that Oregon State isn't going to be so pissed
Oregon
off.
State is going to be juiced for that game.
They are going to be just out of their mind, chomping at the bit. They're going to be like, you stole my lunch money and I bench pressed for 30 days straight and I'm going to punch you in the face repeatedly until you give it back. I think they might have one loss in September, which is a crazy thought.
And then they have to play Michigan, Ohio, Michigan and Ohio State. Do they play Iowa?
I'm looking. They go to Purdue.
So they do get to fade them.
But what was Oregon's biggest problem last year?
Defense.
When they played against a tough defense.
Oh yeah.
And they couldn't beat Washington. They had two shots at him, and then Washington put the clamps on him, and then they folded. So you're going to have to get past Oregon State, Ohio State, and Michigan to get to that number. I don't see it. I don't see it at all.
All right, fellas, we clean it up with the favorites to win the Big Ten for the 2024-2025 season. Ohio State, over under 10.5. What say you, Sir Alex?
Is it bad and not strategic to take the over for them and Oregon? Like, I mean, I guess it's possible that they both hit it, but that would mean Ohio State beating Michigan.
That just means you are predicting those two teams to be in the championship game, most likely.
Yeah. You know what? I think I am going to take the over here, and it tastes like vinegar, but I think I think the biggest move of the offseason maybe for them, everyone's talking about the roster construction. I think Ryan Day giving up play calling duties and bringing in Chip Kelly is going to be a noticeable difference in how they play football on the offensive side of the ball. I think they're going to run the crap out of the rock, and they're going to take a lot of pressure off of Will Howard at quarterback so he can just be a distributor and not have to have the pressure that someone like Kyle McCord had last year. So I am going to take the over. I hate them. I hope they lose, and I hope they lose 10 games, but I don't think it'll happen. I think they'll hit the over here.
Yeah, it's one of those things where their schedule is favorable this year. Their non-conference is pretty soft, but, I mean, Michigan's was last year. And that just happens from making these schedules like 10 years out. So I don't think anybody should fault them for that. They're on a national championship or bust run, and it's all going to come down to it's not all going to come down to, but we're going to see how good of a team this is if they've changed their demeanor and culture the last regular season game of the year against Michigan. I could see where they don't hit the number, and I really want to, but Alex, yeah, just it would not be wise.
It would require them to lose to both Oregon and Michigan, which I do not foresee happening. I think Ohio State is a better version of Oregon. I think they're tougher in the trenches. They have a way better star on the defensive line. I like their team overall better than I like Oregon's. I just don't see them going under 10.5. I think it's 11. The only situation where I see the under hitting is 10 games exactly, and they lose to Oregon and Michigan, which I don't think is going to happen. I think they will be undefeated going into the game to end the regular season. So give me the over on Ohio State.
They do have a sneaky stretch here in the middle of the season where they have Iowa the week before Oregon.
Oh, they play Penn State on the road.
Right. Then they have a bye week. Then they have Nebraska at home the week before they play Penn State. So they've got two sleeper could sneak up on you games in there.
That is that's a trap game. That Nebraska game.
With everybody they got they just have to have the mentality of like we are going to be so laser focused, and then it's going to be the question of will they be able to rise above the pressure? If they can get over the hump of that Penn State game and win that game,
if they lose that Penn State they lose that game at Penn State, all hell is going to break loose. Because
Penn State doesn't play anybody else.
Then it is going to be it's going to turn into the Ryan Day's got to go thing. And it will be that way until and or unless he beats Michigan the last day of the season. None of the rest of the games will matter on the schedule. They could be running over people after that loss.
You could argue
it will not matter until that.
You could argue
I'm looking at the schedule again. If Ohio State lost to Penn State, they play Purdue the next week at home. Oh, poor! They can't show that game to the on TV.
Poor Purdue.
You can't show that to the children.
You could argue that this Penn State game for Ohio State is the most important game on the schedule, given Penn State has such a soft conference schedule outside of the Buckeyes. That would almost guarantee that Penn State has an undefeated conference record and goes to the conference championship game over Ohio State.
Yeah.
Which wouldn't that be something? Like, everybody's dream outside of Michigan and Ohio State fans is like Michigan and Ohio State play and then they rematch the next week and then you get like an actual like Penn State versus an Ohio State again or Penn State versus an Oregon, you know?
I want Michigan. To go into the game against Ohio State with one loss and Ohio State to be undefeated and for Michigan to win that game and then for them to rematch the next week and for Michigan to win again.
Excellent thoughts, Ethan. I
just
agree.
Perpetually pooping down Ryan Day's throat. Could you just bear with me and try and fathom a scenario where Ryan Day retains his job after going 11-0 and losing in back-to-back weeks to Michigan?
If he wins a national championship?
Because
in theory, it doesn't matter. You lose two games to Michigan, but you win a national championship. You can't fire him then.
I guess not. But you want to talk about the most sour-tasting natty of all time? That would just be the most repulsive. Imagine we get to win a natty. What if I gave you the stipulation? All right, we get to win a natty, but we have to lose to Ohio State twice in back-to-back weeks. You'd be puking. You'd be throwing up.
That's an excellent question. Can we put that on the polls?
Yeah.
Can our triumphant return to Instagram be that question?
I will put it up there because I'm not going to lie, guys. I don't know if I would say yes.
After having won the national championship last year, I would not say yes. I would not say yes. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm not doing it.
I mean, I don't know. Winning the national championship is kind of nuts.
It is.
Yeah, but could you imagine Michigan wins a natty, but they lose to Michigan State and Ohio State in the process?
Can't do it. Actually, that sounds terrible. Do I hate Michigan State more than Ohio State?
I think you do, yes. I think we've made that very clear on this podcast that you absolutely do.
I think I'm just such a hater of Michigan State.
You are. And they're closer to home. They're closer to home. It hits more for you.
Yeah.
I grew up with many members of my own family being Ohio State fans. Also Michigan State fans, but I have people in my family who are Ohio State fans, and it pains me to this day. Listen, people, that's it. That's all. That's all we wanted to talk to you about, okay? Just an hour and 10 minutes worth of hoopla. That's all this is. We love you guys. We are so grateful to be back. Alex, close out the show and tell the people why we love them.
We love you because you stick through us or with us through about a six-month hiatus here. I just said that the people stick through us,
now,
didn't I?
Yeah, you sure did. Oh, now give them the old hawk tour and sign off.
Hawk tour, spit on that thing and keep on listening. We'll see you.
Peace.